Here's your money briefing for Thursday, March 4th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. Forgiveness of student loan debt has been on the negotiating table in Washington since last year. And while Americans holding more than $1 trillion in loans wait and see what kind of a deal, if any, emerges, they might not be aware of options they already have.
There are reasons even someone who makes more money might consider being on an income-driven repayment plan, but you would want to look at all the numbers to figure out which way you're paying more and how your payments look each month. There are a whole bunch of factors to consider.
That's our contributor, Cheryl Winokur-Monk. Coming up, she'll tell us about several forgiveness programs that are available, including the tax liabilities to go with them. That's after the break.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.
Americans holding federal student loans got some relief earlier this year when President Biden extended the suspension of payments and interest through September. Plus, lawmakers in the White House are debating forgiveness of some amount of federal student debt. But without forgiveness, those holding student loans are going to have to resume making payments sometime. Our contributor, Cheryl Winokur-Monk, has been looking into some of the forgiveness options that student debt holders already have, and she's here with details. Cheryl, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
So there's been a lot of talk about student loan forgiveness in Washington, and a couple of proposals have been floated. So what do we know about where things stand as of now?
Well, right now, President Biden has talked about $10,000 in student loan forgiveness. There are Senate Democrats who are really pushing for $50,000 in student loan forgiveness, potentially through executive order. But President Biden has not favored that approach. Obviously, it remains to be seen what happens, but he seems comfortable with $10,000.
Okay, but $10,000 in forgiveness could still leave a lot of people with a hefty balance to pay down. Now, you and I have spoken before about loan forgiveness plans available to borrowers that are based on income. Can you remind us of how these income-based forgiveness plans work?
So when you sign up for a repayment plan, when borrowers sign up for repayment plans with the federal government for their federal student loans, we're not talking about private loans, we're talking about federal student loans here. When they sign up for a repayment plan, the standard plan is repayment in 10 years. And there are a couple other options, but one of the options that people can take is payment based on their income. And that's called an income-driven repayment plan. And that's going to set a monthly student loan payment at the amount that you can afford based on your income and your family size. You don't actually have to make very little money to be on that. There are reasons even someone who makes more money might consider being on an income-driven repayment plan, but you would want to look at all the numbers to figure out which way you're paying more and how your payments look each month. There are a whole bunch of factors to consider.
Got it. So do people have to qualify to take part in that plan?
Most federal student loan borrowers are eligible for at least one of the four plans that are offered by the federal government, the four income-driven repayment plans, that is. Unlike some other forgiveness programs, you don't have to be in a certain profession. So it's not public service loan forgiveness, even though when you're trying to qualify for public service loan forgiveness, you are on an income-driven plan. But here we're really talking about income-driven repayment forgiveness, which is after 20 or 25 years, depending on the plan. People can get confused because public service loan forgiveness, you have to be on an income-driven repayment plan, but it's a different program.
Now, Cheryl, we know there is no such thing in life as a free lunch. So what are the cons, the drawbacks of going down this road?
So one of the biggest cons to trying to seek this type of forgiveness is that the remaining balance after the 20 or 25 years is considered taxable income. So that can be a pretty steep tax bill depending on how much balance is left. And this can be a little confusing for borrowers because you might not have to make monthly payments at all if your income is low enough. And so the idea is that if you're not making, your balance is still growing. So at the end, you could have a significant loan balance still if based on your income, your monthly payments haven't been all that high. And because interest is still accruing, you could end up with a pretty steep balance at the end. And then you'd have to pay tax on that. That's the downside. But for some people, there really is no option because they can't afford anything more than their monthly payment. So that's what they have to do.
Is there any way to avoid the tax penalty?
Not if you're going for a pure income-driven repayment forgiveness, but if you're seeking forgiveness under the Public Service Loan Forgiveness Program, then you wouldn't owe taxes on the forgiven amount.
Now, you've mentioned public service forgiveness a couple of times. Can you explain a bit about what that is and how it works?
So public service loan forgiveness is could be an option for people who work in public service. So for the government, for example, you have to make 10 years of qualifying payments for a qualifying employer. And there are other specifics of the program, but that forgiveness can be attained after 10 years. And you wouldn't owe taxes on the forgiven amount. But again, it's only for people who are eligible for that program. It's a significant number of people, but the idea of just going for income-driven repayment forgiveness, not under a public service loan forgiveness plan, is that it's available to people of all professions. It's just a longer period of time that you would have to wait for forgiveness.
Okay, so there are these various forgiveness programs that borrowers could consider, but also there's a completely different approach that a lot of them might be thinking about, and that's aggressively paying down their debt. But if they know that they still have maybe 6 months until the freezing of payments goes away, wouldn't there be an opportunity for them to, you know, put that money to better use?
Absolutely. It's probably not worth it, in fact, to pay aggressively down your debt now. You know, no interest and the payments are frozen. You may as well take that money and put it into a high-yield savings account and let that grow. And then you can have it, you know, have it grow basically for when you're going to need it again.
You know, Cheryl, this can get pretty confusing considering all the other personal finances that people are juggling. Are there tools available that can help simplify things for people?
Yes, the federal government offers what's called a loan simulator, and it's available at studentaid.gov. You can log in to your account, which is the same account you'd use with your FSA ID that you did for when you filed the FAFSA initially. And that will tell you, you can plug in your actual loans and amounts, and they'll be able to tell you, using the simulator, what you would pay under each type of plan. And then you can even play around with things like income or family size, or if you move to another state. It's pretty interactive, and it allows you to see how much you would pay under each plan and how much might potentially be forgiven. You can also talk about, you can also give them ideas of like, well, my goal is to pay off my loan as quickly as possible. My goal is to make as small a monthly payment as possible. So it's a pretty interactive tool. There are also online services such as Savvy and Summer that work directly with borrowers or through their employers. And they can help you. They have tools to help you make these decisions as well.
All right. That's Wall Street Journal contributor Cheryl Winokur-Monk. Cheryl, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal.